Mass shootings in America. Schools, churches, hospitals, other locations thought to be safe havens have been turned into sites of massacres. Solutions are obviously needed. Actions certainly need to be taken. Are those solutions being treated like a one-way street, or actions only needed by one certain group of people against one certain element of our society? With us now to explore what we should all be angry about first and foremost is the online opinion editor for the Washington Times, and also an author. Her latest book is The Socialist Plan to Take Away Your Freedom, Cheryl Chumley. How are you today, Cheryl?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you spending the time with us. CherylChumley.com, and you can also check out her work at WashingtonTimes.com. We have a link to both of those web locations over at our homepage as well. You look at some of the polls, and I'm not going to go detail to detail, but by and large, 70 to 90% of Americans support things like red flag laws, age limits, expanded background checks, checks done, you know, no time, no clock ticking on background checks until they're actually completed. If you poll the American people on all political sides of the situation about outright gun bans, that gets the lowest approval of the American people. Yet, this is what the focus is being, well, trying to be forced on us in Washington, D.C. What don't these people get?
Well, I think a lot of American citizens, they don't pay attention to the details of politics. They only go by their emotions. And when they see horrific images such as school shootings, the knee-jerk emotional reaction is to just stop it by blaming the easiest culprit, which the left has successfully made to be guns. And I think, you know, the polls are misleading because, first off, polls can mean whatever people want the polls to mean. You can look into the questioning, the order of the questioning, look at the numbers, and you can skew those findings to put forward an agenda, especially on Twitter, right, where you're only allowed a short headline. You can put forth whatever agenda you want using those polls. And so I think if Americans really sit back and think what the Second Amendment was put in place for and what gun rights are supposed to be for, they would see the ridiculousness of pointing toward guns. But the left, this is what they always do, never let a crisis go to waste, right?
And they're also forgetting, too, that by and large, a lot of these massacres, and I'm not thinking about the frequent one-on-one street shootings in places like Chicago, Los Angeles, things like that, but these mass shootings are by and large done with legally obtained guns. It's not like they're going on the black market.
Yeah, it never makes sense to me to outlaw or try to advocate for outlawing guns in general, because murder, crime, to a large part, is already outlawed. We already have laws in place. So you're not going to stop lawbreakers or those with criminal intent, particularly the crazy types who want to shoot up schools and kids. You're not going to stop them with laws. So all you do by watering the Second Amendment further is restrict the rights of legal citizens, legal gun owners to carry.
You wrote about this too recently. Dems ignore root causes of gun crime on purpose. A lot of the causes is basically we're failing to get to the angry, hostile, crazy person before they're able to get to a gun.
Well, there are a lot of things that we could address aside from taking guns away from lawful owners, right? We could look first and foremost at the rate of fatherless homes in America, because there have been well-studied, well-documented surveys and analyses conducted about what happens when you remove a father from the home and there's broken homes. And it leads to so many of these issues that feed into violence, that feed into young people wanting to take up guns and shoot to kill. It leads into addictions. It leads into all kinds of jail statistics and so forth. And I think if we look at fatherless homes or some of the other root causes of violence in America, we could actually fight this gun violence in America. But the left doesn't want to take common sense approach, because the left's ultimate design is to do away with the Second Amendment.
That was Cheryl Chumley, who is the online opinion editor for the Washington Times, also author. Her latest book, The Socialist Plan to Take Away Your Freedom, CherylChumley.com, WashingtonTimes.com, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. What do you make of the individual bills in the House and the Senate right now? Because it seems like they're realistic. They know that any kind of gun ban is not going to pass either chamber, certainly not the Senate. And they also know that the people of America want to see something done to the positive side. Some are really becoming proponents of the red flag laws, but when they're done correctly, for example, there are some states with red flag laws where a mental health professional can just submit documents stating their case, where others say, no, everyone's in the courtroom. Everyone gets Q&A'd by both sides before the judge, whoever has to make a ruling or a decision. Is that a way that we have to start looking more so?
I'm not a big fan of the red flag laws because they seem to me just grasping at straws when there are so many other issues that we could fight first and exhaust first before we turn to red flag laws to save us from gun violence. And first and foremost, one of the things that you referenced my previous commentary I wrote at the Washington Times, and in it I have several ideas that we can use to fight gun violence. And one issue that is so little talked about, but seems to me to be screaming to be talked about, is the issue of the drug prescriptions we feed our youth, and we have done for the last 20 years, for behavioral issues, for things like attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Some of those drugs that we give our youth, that we prescribe to our youth, if you look at the side effects of them, they cause many of these issues that you could say are the reasons for these school shootings. They cause things like psychoses and hallucinations and hearing voices and aggressive, violent behavior. And yet, 20 years ago, we started prescribing some of these medications with regularity based on simply a teacher's recommendation or a doctor's speedy prescription pad being written. And I think if we start looking at maybe some of these drugs, we could find correlations that are going to be frightening to realize, because we're going to have to take accountability for actually prescribing our youth the very drugs that have fed into these criminal statistics.
You mentioned about accountability, too. We've learned about the shooters in the aftermath, about they weren't keeping their anger, their hostility, their insanity, or the parents' insanity secret. But so many people around that individual would say, there goes Crazy Joe again, off the rails, until some tragedy happens. Doesn't maybe the responsibility begin as close to that person as possible by, when you hear Crazy Joe go off, you tell somebody that Joe's acting crazy again? You see your friend on Facebook saying they're going to shoot up a school. You just don't dismiss the post or delete it. You alert Facebook security saying you might want to do something with this comment, because it sounds like something is about to happen that's real bad. It's maybe it just starts with us.
Yeah, and shortly after the most recent school shooting, there was a, and I can't remember the state, but there was a kid that in elementary school or middle school, he made some comments on social media about taking a gun to school and shooting up the school, and officers responded and arrested him.
Yeah.
And so there are instances where that works, but what you're really talking about when you say paying attention to the signs, you're really talking first and foremost about strengthening the family unit. Because if you go back just a short time in history, say 20, 30 years ago, there were kids, especially in the Midwest, right, who would go to school with their firearms in the back of their trucks, ready to go hunting after school, or they would bring their rifles into school and put them in their lockers because they would have a shooting competition that day at school. It was very common for young children to carry, in certain states in America, to school their weapons, and there weren't school shootings. So you can't fault guns, right? That tells you that.
Well, you can't, you can't fault gun owners either. Not every gun owner is irresponsible. I mean, you might, if someone is irresponsible and leaves a gun, an AR-15 leaning up against the door so little Johnny could take it to school, okay, we got a problem there, but that's not the majority of gun owners.
Right. And so these common sense acknowledgments are being pushed to the side by the left because, of course, the left just wants to cripple the Second Amendment. But there are so many different things that we could do to fight violence in the schools particularly. But the family unit has to be talked about. The family unit has to come back together how it was in America, up until maybe 20 years ago when we started doing all these special agendas, the LGBTQ agendas and the tear down of the family unit and the open embrace of divorce rates, half the time.
And also too, we have to be realistic about, okay, the world isn't like it was 20 years ago. So when schools start talking about increasing security, parents raising the roof saying, I don't want my kid going into a building that's going to be a jail. We had someone, a school security expert here a couple of weeks ago. They basically teach military tactics. They're former Green Berets and police officers. And they also have a process where it's a bomb-proof glass that when it's lined up at a school entrance, a shooter enters, they're basically boxed in and they can't get out until law enforcement gets there. But then you present ideas like that, you know, you're militarizing our school, and I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with teachers being given the opportunity to train and arm themselves and bring their weapons to school. I don't have an issue with armed guards being posted and sent to patrol both inside and outside the schools. These things are not very disruptive to the general atmosphere of the school because the left will paint it as militarizing the schools. But, you know, if you have some officers at your school who are armed and trained, that's not exactly militarizing the school. That's recognizing the realities of today's atmosphere, of today's society, and taking steps to protect kids. And I actually think kids aren't stupid. They know what's going on. I actually think most kids in America would feel safer having armed presence at their schools than they do nowadays watching the news, seeing these school shootings and then realizing in their own school that there aren't any police presences in their own facilities.
People are looking for a simple solution. Here's a simple solution. Shooters don't go where other guns are.
Yeah, exactly, which is why I favored the idea of allowing teachers who would like the opportunity to carry on schools, in schools, in their classrooms. Because that's not to say every teacher would carry or would even want to. But it is to say that if you're somebody who wants to go to school and shoot up the hallways and kill kids and staff, you don't know which teachers are carrying versus which teachers aren't. So that alone may make you rethink your plans.
She is the online opinion editor for the Washington Times and author as well. Her latest book is The Socialist Plan to Take Away Your Freedom. Cheryl Chumley, thank you so much for your insight into a serious issue and helping people realize it just isn't a one step to fix it all. There's a lot to the process and there's not a lot of time, unfortunately. So hopefully everything will work in cooperation and what we see today will not be what we see tomorrow. Thanks again for being here.
Thank you very much.